Speak Sport, the podcast for women fluent in sport. So I'm with one of my favorite people, I'm allowed to say that, in the world, Faye Tunnicliffe, one of our favorite top order batters here at the Western Province women's team. And I say here because obviously geographically, I always say to people because they ask me, who's your favorite domestic cricket team? And I'm like, well, geographically, I'm in the Western Province, so this is my team. But I also love the team and everything about the team is amazing. Faye Tunnicliffe is with me, our top order batter. And also, I must just tell you, outside of cricket, she manages a gym, she does personal training, and she also, on a personal level, enjoys sunset walks, reading, coffee, and donuts is her absolute weakness. And she also loves fitness, all things movement. And in the off season, which is currently happening now, unfortunately for all of us who love cricket, she focuses very much on strength and endurance, and she enjoys testing her limits. And she also believes that fitness and good nutrition are imperative to good performance. And she's recently finished studying sports nutrition and graduated from ETA College with a 3-year diploma in sport and exercise science. And she's still working towards her goal, which this is an amazing goal, of being a solid fixture in the Proteas starting 11. Faye, I hope that I did justice to your bio, and it's so good to have you with me today. And how are you doing? And just welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Now you crushed it. it's good to be here. I'm good. I'm enjoying I enjoyed what was the off season. We're pretty much back at it now. A couple of us. So yeah, back into kind of the swing of things, which is nice, but still sort of taking a bit of a break from like full squad training, which is nice.
You know, people just miss watching, you know, coming to the stadiums and getting to watch all your ladies play all the time and also watching on the TV, you know, so it kind of feels like an off season for spectators. But they don't actually realize, people don't actually realize that there is so much that you have to be doing during off season as well. So tell us what you actually get up to, because you really have to do a lot of, you know, strength, endurance training. And like you said, you know, it's not necessarily an off season for you guys. It's off season for people watching, but, you know, it's not off season for you guys. You guys have a lot of work that you need to do as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the performance side of things is what people see, but there's so much that goes into that performance and sort of the entertaining side of it. I mean, now it's, you know, it's still our full-time job. So yeah. I still have to wake up every day and act accordingly as a professional cricketer. So, I mean, for different people, it looks different. I know that quite a few of the girls did take a full month off after season ended in early April. But I can't sit still for longer than 5 minutes. So I was, you know, kind of looking for the next best thing to do. So I signed up for a half marathon. So I've been training for that. Like you said in my bio, I manage a gym. So I'm there more often than not as well. So I'm kind of always around exercise and fitness and stuff. So I'm very lucky that the guys that I work with are very motivational, and they're always trying to, you know, push me to kind of, I don't know, hit new PRs in the gym or whatever it is. So I'm really just trying to keep as fit as I can to give myself the best possible chance for when season does start again. Because I really do believe that it is a fundamental part of being a professional athlete, and that is the sort of fitness and nutrition side of things.
Now, you mentioned the half marathon. How is the training going? I know that you've been sharing some videos on social media of yourself running, which you and I spoke about like before the interview. And how is the training for the half marathon going? I kind of feel like it's incredible to hear you say, you know what, I can't keep still, so I just sign up for a half marathon. Some people will be like, I can't sit still, I'm going to go to the movies, like I'm going to go watch a movie. Or some people will be like, I can't sit still, I'm literally going to go to the ice rink. You're going to do a half marathon. How's it going?
It's pretty cool. It's outside of my comfort zone for sure. Because I think along with cricket, there's a lot of strength training that comes with it. And I think typically people think of, you know, half marathon or running or whatever as being as light as possible. But I'm very much sort of into the hybrid side of things, which is both weightlifting and running. So trying to sort of maintain both is quite difficult, and I'm eating quite a lot, but that's great. So it's been very cool, kind of venturing outside of my comfort zone. But yeah, I've been enjoying it. It's something to do. You know, I just kind of put a podcast in and go for a run, or put some music in and go for a run. It's been a very good way to sort of get to know another side of myself, I guess.
I love that. That's super cool. And so now next time you're running, you can listen. No, no, not next time, but very soon you can listen to us on the podcast. You and me, you'll have to listen back to yourself talking. Sometimes that can be a bit tricky. I find that really challenging when you have to listen back to yourself and be like, okay, I should have said this, I should have said that. But Faye, that's the challenge that you'll have for the running in the next few weeks.
Then I better say some motivational things to keep myself going to listen to the run.
Totally. Well, one of the motivational things that you do is, you know, sometimes get the hard things out of the way in the morning. So what is your motivation then for life? What is your motto? What is your kind of reality that goes, okay, this keeps me going? When there are hard moments, when I feel like I'm going through like a hard moment, a hard time, maybe a bit of a stump, when I'm doubting certain things, what is it that keeps you going? What do you tell yourself? Are you like a big believer in self-talk? Are you a big believer in, you know, self-motivation? Oh, do you have great people around you who can keep you motivated? How do you do that, you know, just from a mental perspective and also an emotional perspective?
Yeah, so I think for me, routine is quite a big thing. So I really enjoy sort of my morning routine. I've created, and this is probably one of my biggest blessings, is that I live a life that I get excited to wake up to every morning. And that starts with, you know, my morning routine. I'm quite big on like journaling and stuff like that. So I'll wake up, make a cup of coffee and sit and do my journaling in the morning. And I love doing that. I literally, when I go to bed at night, I get excited to do that. And then you mentioned the people in my life, and I can confidently say that I don't have a single person in my circle who doesn't inspire me on a daily basis, which I'm really lucky to have those types of people around me. And in terms of motivation, I think, you know, motivation, it does come and go. But I've sort of gotten into a habit where the things that I'm consuming all the time are motivating me. So for example, I don't really watch series and stuff. And if I do, it has to be quite profound. It has to move me. Yeah. Otherwise, I don't really like kind of just sitting on the couch and watching, I don't know, something that's not very mindful. So yeah. I'll generally watch like YouTube and stuff. And it's, again, it's just consuming bits of information. So I'll watch quite a few YouTubers who are maybe on a similar fitness journey in terms of like hybrid, or, you know, people I look up to. And one kind of saying that I heard a while ago was, and I might mess this up, but it's something like, you need to do today what others aren't willing to do so that you can do tomorrow what others can't. And that kind of, that sits with me, especially, you know, like in off season and stuff like that. Obviously Cape Town can get very wet and rainy during the winter.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, Pretoria or Joburg is not. So in my mind, if it's raining outside, and I kind of say to myself, ah, well, I can't go for a run today because it's raining, the first thing that I think about is, but it's probably not raining in Pretoria, so one of my competitors is running right now. Yeah. So I kind of tell myself, well, you got to get up and do it. What, like, it's just a bit of water, you know? It's a little bit cold, but it's fine. Or I have no problem with, you know, waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning to be in the gym by 5:45. You know, I'm okay with things like that because I'm willing to do that if that's what it's going to take to kind of get me to the next level. And this will sound really intense, you know, I kind of sound like one of those YouTubers that are like, you need to get up and go and you need to get up yesterday already and do yoga for an hour and all of this stuff, but it's just kind of finding whatever works for you. I mean, I know there's a lot of incredible elite athletes that wake up at 8 o'clock in the morning and that works for them. Whereas, you know, I'd rather kind of wake up and get my stuff done.
Yeah.
You mentioned kind of doing the hard thing in the morning. And yeah. that's sort of where I'm at. It's like doing the hard thing that other people might not be willing to do, so that I can do what other people might not be able to do.
And you know, that's like you said, you might sound like one of those YouTubers, but honestly, you don't. You sound like you found what sits for you and what works for you. And I love the way you said, like, some elite athletes get up at like 8 a.m. in the morning. So now I just need to ask you, Faye, is 8 a.m. in the morning like pretty late, like, for you?
Sorry, I don't, that sounds so subjective. But
no,
you saying
no.
That makes me sound like such a. Like,
I'm not going to tell you what time in the morning that I wake up, okay? But I'm not an elite athlete, so it's cool.
No. This is a, yeah. I don't know. For me, kind of anything past 8 in the morning. But I think I also grew up with this. My mom, you know, if I lay in bed until 8, she was kind of like, are you ever getting up today? I mean, for me, 8 is kind of late. But I think also between, you know, managing the gym, I have to wake up if I'm opening, then we open at 5. So I have to wake up at 4 a.m. to be there by sort of 20 to 5-ish. Mm. And then, you know, by 8 a.m. it's kind of lunchtime. So
yeah, totally. But no, I'm just kidding with you, because this talk about like morning people and like you know, like evening people. So would you say you're typically like a morning person, not like an evening person?
I'm definitely more of a morning person. I think maybe 2 years ago, I wouldn't have believed you if you told me that, you know, in 2 years time, you'd be waking up by choice at, you know, 6 a.m. or 6:15. I definitely used to be more of an evening person, but now, you know, if people invite me out of the house past 7:30 at night, then I'm probably saying no.
You find that balance in your life. You know, life is all about the balance. I love that. You know, there's lots of memes that go around that are kind of like, you know, do you want to come out like after like 8 p.m.? And it's like, you're kind of like, no. You know, I've reached that stage in my life where I can confidently say no to any invite that's like after 8 p.m. or something. It's just finding what, like you said, finding what works for you. Speaking of looking back, you were talking about 2 years ago, I know that you spent some time in the UK and your journey of life, and played some cricket in the UK, that did a bit of other things in the UK too. So tell us a bit about that, because I think that people, when they see you, you know, batting on the team, when they see you on social media, don't often know, you know, your journey to get to this point where you are now. And also, you know, one day when you are in the starting 11, which is your goal and which many of us believe you will reach, you know, it's kind of like then people will go, oh, who is Faye? Like, what is she about? But honestly, it's about getting to know you a little bit now, because you are such an incredible, you know, sports person, and you're doing amazing things, and you have incredible goals, and just your mindset as well is there. So tell us a bit about your journey when you were in England. I know maybe it was not exactly where you are now, but it was part of your journey to get here.
Well, yeah, firstly, thank you. That's very kind of you. And I really appreciate you saying that. But yeah, so the UK, I have a love-hate relationship with the UK. But I mean, mostly fond memories. I went over in 2021 to play some club cricket there for Ealing Cricket Club, which is just West London. Mm-hmm. And I had such a good time there. The club was awesome. I played men's club cricket. I played women's club cricket. And yeah, just generally had a really good time. And I came back and we played the SA Emerging. We played a tour against Thailand, which was really successful, which was cool. And then, yeah, last year I went over to the UK because I'm lucky enough, my dad's from Nottingham, so I'm lucky enough to have dual citizenship. So I do have a British passport as well as a South African passport. And, you know, I went over with every intention of staying there and kind of moving my cricket career there. And I got over there, and actually at the time I was reading Faf du Plessis' book. I got over there and I was kind of settling in. I didn't really have a routine because it was still a little bit up in the air. I was going to go and play for one of the regional teams. And things were quite up in the air, but it was a long shot going over. I kind of took a shot in the dark. And then I had all the meetings and kind of had everything in place for me to basically sign my rights away for playing for South Africa.
Wow.
And then I had the meeting, and you know, I'm really big on trusting your intuition and trusting your gut feeling. And after the meeting, it just wasn't sitting well with me. And obviously, I was also reading Pfaff's book at the time, and he loves South Africa.
Yeah.
And the more I was thinking about it, the more I was like, but I don't actually want to play for England. Like, I want to play for South Africa. And it was like this moment of, it was like an aha moment where it just hit me, and I was like, I actually don't want to pursue this path. Like, I want to play cricket professionally, but I wanted to be in South Africa. So, I played my last game against the Lions for Western Province. And this was last year, this time last year, basically. So April-ish last year. And then I picked up the phone to Claire, our coach, Claire de Blanche, our coach for Western Province. And I said, listen, I think I've made a mistake. I really want to come home, and I really want to play cricket for South Africa and stay at Western Province. Do you think there's still a gap for me? Because this also would have been the time where they would have been finalizing contracts and everything for the team.
Yeah.
And she said, let me make a couple of phone calls, see what I can do. And she got back to me and she said, yeah, we can offer you a contract.
Wow.
And I said, okay, amazing. I'm going to come home. Let me see if I can kind of maybe play the summer in the UK. And then I try to sort of make a plan over that side. And there were plans in place for me to maybe do some coaching and play some county and club cricket there. But I think just through everything, it was a little bit overwhelming. And then also some sort of more personal things happened this side. And I decided to come home, and I said, no. Anyways, eventually last year, this time, had to move out of the place that I was staying in. And I spent a month sleeping on my sister's couch, because my folks live out in Onerous, so I couldn't, stay in Onerous with them and drive into town every day for training and work purposes. So yeah, literally spent a month on my sister's couch, and then eventually we found a beautiful 2-bedroom apartment and said, cool, we'll move in together for the time being. And I will forever be grateful for my sister for kind of taking me in like that. Because, she's this kind of 28-year-old. She doesn't really want to be living with a 24-year-old. And so she just, took me under her wing and said, let's do this. I wasn't in the most amazing space mentally. And then, I kind of just went from there. And I just kept on telling myself, like, this is not going to break me. And just really focused on kind of my fitness, focused on what I had to do, focused on cricket and all of that. And it's been a really good year. I had a decent season as well. So now we're here. I'm just hoping it goes from strength to strength.
Oh, Faye, thank you so much for sharing your story, your journey, with me and with us that are listening. And it's so incredible to me as well. I think that our journeys, how they mold us, even though we have to live through them. So it's easy for other people to go, oh, well, you went through that and it's made you who you are, et cetera, whatever. But we actually have to live through our journey. We have our lived reality and what we've been through and how things have happened for us. And when I see you with the team, which I've got to observe like closely, you are always encouraging people. I don't know if that's something you obviously, it might be something that you know about yourself, just like this natural encourager, that you're the one that's always like shouting on the sidelines for your teammates, encouraging them. And when there's like the circle at the end, you'll put your hand in and be like, we're a team, this is how it is. And you have that presence, just even from the outside looking in and going, just encouraging others. And it's such a natural gift, I think, that you have, a natural ability that you have within yourself as a human being. And it's actually a blessing to the team, I'm sure, but also I think it also probably has come from things that you've been through, and to hear your journey is just is such a privilege, and I'm so grateful for that. And yeah, just to see you being that encourager for the team is amazing. So other people do that for you, but you do that for other people, and especially for the team. And I'm sure that they're really grateful and happy to have you as part of the team. And this has been, you kind of played it down, but this was a really great season for you, because when I was looking at the stats, it was like you're like the second highest run scorer for the entire season, which is amazing. So it's incredible. And, you know, in this moment, I just wanted to honor that as well. And that encourager that you are. And do you know that about yourself? Is that something that you think of? Because it's really what you bring to the team, besides other things.
again, I really appreciate you saying that. And I don't think it's something that you kind of ever step into. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm vice captain of the team, so in a way there is an obligation for me to be kind of a supporting role, especially for Leah, who's the captain of the team.
Yeah.
You know, she's got a lot on her plate, so if kind of motivating the team is something she doesn't have to worry about, then it just makes her life that much easier. But yeah, I wouldn't say it's really something that I consciously think about. I think I hold myself to quite a high standard, and I can probably get quite annoying in the team sometimes, because I can be quite intense, because I hold the people around me to that standard as well. But yeah, I really enjoy what I do, and I think that's probably where it comes from. Like, I love playing cricket. I love being around the team. I'm a massive believer that you should always lead with love in whatever you're doing. So that's probably where it comes from, I guess. And yeah, I mean, I'm just kind of lucky enough to be in somewhat a leadership role on the team. So if I can motivate people around me to do better than what they did yesterday, then that's incredible. But it's also not always going to work, and I'm well aware of that.
Don't worry. I was kind of sitting and nodding and going like, when you hold yourself to a really high standard, you hold other people to a really high standard as well. And I always tell people that I work with, like, I have a really high work ethic. This is why you're getting frustrated with me, okay? So I have that. Yeah. You need to have that too. Let's get on board.
Exactly. You
know? Let's get on the same page.
Well, I'm willing to do this, so why aren't you willing to do this as well?
Yeah, totally. And then people around us are like, oh my gosh, I can't deal with you. And you're like, listen, you know?
Exactly.
So that is how it is. I wanted to ask you, you know, when obviously when you joined the team and, you know, being part of the team, you are the top order batter. Was that a challenge for you in terms of not necessarily batting, but when you hear that you're going to be the top order batter, you're going to be opening, was that kind of like, okay, maybe I should be not in that position? Or was that something that you were like quite confident at the beginning going, okay, no, I can do that?
Yeah, so with T20, I've always loved opening. I like the idea of kind of setting the tone for the team, or for the first innings, or for the innings, whatever it is. But for 50 over, I had big shoes to fill, because obviously Andre Steyn, who she was our opening batter, she's a phenomenal cricketer, probably one of the most militant cricketers in terms of just thinking an innings through. She's a very intelligent cricketer.
Yeah.
And she knows how to hold down an innings and how to set up an innings and all of that. And she went over to Australia to pursue her PhD. So then, you know, Claire kind of turned to me and said, well, we need you to open the batting. And I said, coach, I'll do it for the team, but that is, those are big shoes to fill. And then, I mean, that's literally what I said to her. I said, I'll do it for the team. And honestly, this season, if I'm being really kind of harsh on myself, I don't think it came off that well. I kind of had one innings where I scored 100, but you know, those were pretty much the only monumental runs that I scored in the 50 over league. So I think it was definitely kind of rocky to start with, because my position was, you know, number four, and I was comfortable there and happy there. But it was a massive learning experience for me, and you know, I probably would do it again next season, because I did start to enjoy it once I sort of started finding my feet. But yeah, it was quite big shoes to fill, But again, it was, you know, outside of my comfort zone, and I like things like that. So I got to learn a lot about myself.
That's really cool. Yeah, Angie was, I mean, well, she is, but I remember catching up with her last year, and she just, the way she sees cricket is specific, and it was interesting. So, but it's amazing that you've taken on that role and made it your own as well. And it's exciting for us all to go, okay, what is going to come next season as well? I know that Clara said, you know, we're going to work on our 50 over game. We're going to focus on this. So there's going to be a lot of things that's going to be happening. And I'm really excited about that as well. And I wanted to ask you, firstly, congratulations on the National Academy intake, which is really cool. The CSA Emerging Academy. Are you excited about this? Like, I mean, obviously you are working hard and you are doing the most with everything that you have. And this is, your goal is to be that solid fixture. So are you excited about this intake and what you're going to learn and what this is going to mean for you in the future as well?
Yeah, I'm very excited about it. I mean, it's basically an excuse to wake up every day and play cricket and do fitness, which is
yeah,
pretty much what I do. But yeah, I'm excited. It's also a really good group of players. So I think there'll be a lot to learn from, firstly, the management, because obviously Denisha is a phenomenal coach.
Yeah.
And then also from the players around me, I'll be able to learn a lot from them. And just, yeah, hopefully it's sort of one step closer to where I want to be. And I think it's going to be a good winter.
It is going to be a good winter. And Denisha is incredible. Shout out to her. She's an absolutely incredible human being, but also obviously incredible at everything that she does in the cricket world. And it's exciting. I'm excited for you with this. And also I need to ask you though, how was the African Games? Because of course you were part of the team that represented, you know, Team South Africa in, you know, cricket being there for the first time, which is amazing. And of course, okay, so I know that you ladies didn't come home with the gold, which was the goal, which is cool. Came home with the silver. It was an intense game, that last game. But how was the whole experience for you? If you summed it up, it was very fascinating to watch, and seemed like challenging circumstances, and it just seemed like, you know, a lot was happening. And but kudos to Zimbabwe for what they did. But how was it from your experience?
Yeah, Ghana was definitely an experience. I think, again, it was just very sort of out of our comfort zones. You know, like generally when you go on tour, you're in a hotel, and it's comfortable living. Whereas yeah. Here we were four in a dorm room, on bunk beds. I can't remember the last time I slept on a bunk bed. and kind of one bathroom between four ladies. Our bathroom door didn't close properly in our room. So we kind of had to make a plan with that. But, you know, so that sort of thing was very much outside of our comfort zone. But the main focus was obviously cricket.
Yeah.
And the cricket itself, I think the standard was pretty good. I think we were probably expected to bring home gold. And I mean, the final was a very, very close game. But like you say, kudos to Zimbabwe. I think they played more consistently throughout the tournament than what we did. And yeah, I mean, cricket is a game of margins, and we needed one run off the last ball.
Yeah.
And more often than not, that's achieved when that is kind of the scenario. But I guess it wasn't meant to be for us. But I think there's a lot that we can still be proud of and take away from Ghana. I think it could have been a lot more kind of soul destroying if we had let it. But I think most of us sort of came away with the mentality of, cool, we want to be better. And if you were to put us into that situation again, we would make sure we won the game.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that you ladies all handled it really well, because there was an expectation of gold. And I remember chatting to Denisha before the tour, and we all just had like such deep faith in all of you, but we all just felt proud of everything that you had achieved anyway. So it wasn't necessarily that anyone felt let down, but of course, when you hold yourself to that higher standard, and when you go, that is what we should achieve technically, it can be can be a bit tough. And I'm so grateful that you ladies just were like, okay, you know what? This is, we've learned stuff here. We had to go through what we went through, challenging circumstances, and, you know, have came back and we were able just to continue and to move on. And so, Faye, I wanted to ask you one final thing before we close off, because donuts are your weakness. So what is your favorite? You're going to get donuts now, like every game, like from like spectators now. What is your favorite donuts that you enjoy?
I probably have seen cookie and cream.
Really? From where? Yeah. Like, where do you find a donut like that? I don't eat donuts, so that's why I'm asking. I'm very intrigued by this.
Krispy Kreme does a pretty good cookies and cream donut.
Okay, yeah, we go.
All of them. I think they've got like an Oreo, everything. Donuts are just amazing.
So I got to get on the train. Well, now you know, if you get donuts at the games, you know, you'll just thank me. Just don't send them to me because I won't eat them. I'll just watch you. But it's been so cool to hang out with you today. Thank you so much for sharing this space and time with me, and all the best for the rest of the off season in inverted commas, and for everything that you're going to be getting up to. And I'm really looking forward to everything that's going to come, you know, just in your journey with cricket.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to the She Speaks Sport podcast. Find us on your favorite podcast app like Apple, Google, Castbox, and Spotify. Subscribe and like to stay updated on all new episodes. Thanks for listening.